Lord, is my plea. I come to you this morning giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan in her absence, Minister Riley, my lovely wife who stepped out, and my beautiful, beautiful church family, the part that is here. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for we are in need of a word. Speak, Lord, for nothing can be said that's worth anything until you come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Indwell and fill and refill this vessel, Lord. As I submit, Lord, I give myself to you to be used any way that you see fit, but fill me to overflowing, Lord, that I may speak a word. Come, Lord Jesus. We call on you. We count on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn with me to the first epistle of John, chapter 3. I want to read a verse or two out of there, and there's a couple other places I want to read. I'll direct you as I go there. But John, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 23-24, and I will be reading out of the King James Version, so it may be different in the Bibles that you may have. Verse 23 reads thusly, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us." And if you turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, the first two verses there, it said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Mary served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then finally, Luke 10:41-42. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And as a guideline this morning, we will continue. It's a subject we've been talking on for about a month. It's perfecting the perfecting the fellowship. And that's the overall topic, perfecting the fellowship. And of course, that's a topic that we could literally talk about for the rest of our lives. It's certainly something that if we're Christian, we will be doing for the rest of our lives. We will spend all of our time trying to perfect our fellowship with God. And 2 weeks ago, I had a subtopic that was the most important thing. And what we're going to do is continue along that subject line of the most important thing. And if you want to note the specific sermon, it will be only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. I think 2 weeks ago, I just talked to us a minute. I said that we all know how we love our stuff and our things. And it might just be me. But most of us realize that what's most important is our relationships. And if we're truly Christian, then we realize that the most important of all is our fellowship with God. Nothing is more important than that. So this epistle from John, he talks about our relationship with God. And I just want to spend a few minutes with you today on that, this relationship with God. 3 weeks ago, we spoke on the subject communion and pointed out that it was reflecting, confessing, and praying. And certainly, as we try to perfect our fellowship with God, it behooves us to reflect often and to confess and to continue to pray. This indeed is how we will maintain and restore our fellowship with God. Then 2 weeks ago, I talked about the most important thing and how we perfect our fellowship with God, how we move ever closer to the Lord. 3 points I raised there, and if you keep the notes, you may note those quickly, particularly for those who may have not heard that particular sermon, or those who heard it and didn't make notes. Number one, know that we are in Him. That's how we perfect the love of God. The scripture from 1 John 2:5 says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And then number two, as we try to perfect our relationship with God, and abide in him. And 1 John 2:6, the A portion of that says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought also so walk even as he walked." And then thirdly, we pointed out that if we are truly abiding in him and he in us, we would walk like him. And that brings us to today. And today, when we speak on the only one thing is needful. You know, if you're like anybody else, you've been thinking about everything that's going on. Even through the good times, the good events, as we said, we went to a wedding last weekend, and even through that, you've heard the storms, what were going on, and even through the good things, you still had your mind on some of these other things because there's so much going on. And the bride gave us a testimony this morning that a bullet shot through an automobile, even during the good times when if you go way back in time, as I said in Sunday school, way back to a month ago, Hurricane Harvey. I say way back because most of us have forgotten about Harvey, except for the people that were in Harvey that's still going through. And Hurricane Irma, destruction in the Virgin Islands, and Florida, and all of the damage that was done there. But all of that's almost forgotten about. That's yesterday's news. The earthquake in Mexico is, it can't go away because they've already had a second earthquake. They tell me that is on top of the first one, aftershock. And then the hurricane that wiped out Puerto Rico, pretty much. They have no power whatsoever. But all of these things that's going on right now. But the Bible tells us that even with all that's going on, there's only one thing that's needful. Through it all, it's just one thing that's needful. And I want to give you a warning today that, you see, Satan has no scruples. Satan will try to capitalize on your darkest moment, whether it be a loved one passing away or a loved one that's sick, no matter what. It is Satan has no scruples. Satan will try to capitalize on that and cause you to question your own salvation and to say, where is God in all of this? Why is God? Where are you, Lord? Why have you forsaken me? He will cause you to question if you are not careful. But the Bible says just one thing is needful. The scriptures that I read for you today, the first scripture coming from John, 1 John 3:23, is a guiding principle. It tells us that we ought to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So it's a guiding principle for the Christian. In the second scripture that I read, or perhaps the third scripture from Luke, is a practical application of that scripture. See, when you look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 41 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I read the scripture from John because there's some confusion there. Some people say this was the same incident and some say it was a different incident, but it really doesn't matter. It says 6 days before the Passover, when Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper. So whether the same incident or different incidents, we know that it was Martha and Mary. And And Mary was still at Jesus' feet. And Martha was still cumbered with many things. You see, she had a whole lot on her mind. And it could have been some good things, and it may have been some that were not so good, but she had a whole lot on our mind. I don't think that we're not like that. We just are able to see through all of the stuff that's going on. We can see right through to Jesus himself. We don't let all of those things cumber our minds, like what we're going to do tomorrow, and what about this bill, and what about this situation, and what about those circumstances. We're not like Martha. Cumbered with many things on her mind. Jesus said to her, "Martha, you are worried and troubled and concerned about so many things. But one thing is needed. And your sister has chosen that good part, that which will not be taken away from her." So whether it's the same incident or not, what is certain is that Mary understood the importance of spending time at the feet of Jesus. If you look at your Bible in the 39th verse of our current scripture, it says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And if you look at the scripture carefully, you'll see that she sat there so that she could learn. She sat at Jesus' feet. And if you look at John 11:32, you find Mary once again sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this circumstance was a bit different. This is when her brother had passed. Her brother had died, but you find her still sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the good times and in the bad time, you could find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John 12:3, it tells me that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus 6 days before his crucifixion. She was once again sitting at his feet and anointing his feet. So she knew the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus in good times and in bad times. Martha, Martha, you can almost sense the compassion and love in Jesus' voice, the concern in his voice as he said this. He said, "Martha, you're doing good things, because you want to serve me and you're doing a good job at serving me. But your sister has one thing that's been added. She's got that part that's really needed. That one thing needful that Mary chose, that good part, which will never be taken away from her." You see, very clearly, this was to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his word. When you're going through something, before you try to figure it all out and get bombarded with all these many things, just go and sit at Jesus' feet and see what he has to say. Before you strike off and go and solving the world's problem, listen and see what Jesus has to say at the feet of Jesus. You see, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, it implies that you're ready to accept and obey what Jesus teaches. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, it implies that you are ready to be submitted to Him. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, it implies that my faith is in knowing who Jesus is. I know that He's a boundless God. I know that He can solve whatever problem I might be facing.
Amen.
If I can just get myself quiet and sit at His feet and get His direction. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, it implies that you want to be His disciple. I want to walk like He did. I want to follow His example. I want to be His disciple. So I'll sit at His feet and get direction. To sit at His feet implies love. I want to love like He loved me. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for our brethren." Mm-hmm. I want to love like Jesus, and I can't love like Jesus unless I sit at His feet and learn from Him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we get to our lowest, anybody ever gone through something? Well, it just seems like everything is going wrong. And it generally comes when you're on a high, when everything is going good, and then all of a sudden the bottom drop out and something just happens and you don't know which way to turn, and it will carry you so low sometimes. It's when God allows the world to test us, to present us with its greatest test. Let me show you something here. These same two sisters. Well, in the 11th chapter of John, it says, "Now, there's a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." John 11:20-21 says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house." You see, it was Martha that had sent to get Jesus. And when Jesus took His time, because Jesus knows what He's doing. Sometimes we think we know more than He does, but He knows what He's doing. But Martha had sinned and said, "My brother is sick, Lord, and we need You to come." But Jesus took His time, my Bible tells me. And you see, Martha was impulsive. And that's none of us, I'm sure. That none of us are impulsive. And so then Martha ran out when Jesus came. She ran to meet Jesus. She wanted to meet Jesus because she wanted to tell Jesus some of her mind. She wanted to ask Jesus, "What you doing coming late? If you had been here, then my brother would not have died. If you had just been here, you could have gotten here if you wanted to, but you didn't come." And verse 21 says, she said, "And if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Because Martha was impulsive, and while Mary was reflective. If you look at verse 32, when Martha got back and Mary went out to see Jesus, 32 says, but then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Now she said the same thing that Mary said. Mary said the same thing that Martha said. She said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, sometimes it's not what you say.
Yeah.
It's how you say it. You see, when Mary approached Jesus, she said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm going to get down here at your feet so that you can explain to me what's going on. I'm not going to chastise you because you didn't do what I thought you ought to do. Not what you say all the time, but how you say it. And then if you look at verse 37 in that same chapter, it tells you where we are and how easy it is for us to forget how good and great God is. The verse says, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Couldn't Jesus have saved Lazarus? He did these other things. He restored the blind man's seeing. But it's so easy for us to forget. I can just imagine that some of them thought, that I remember when he made wine out of water. He said, and I may have not been there, but somebody told me that he walked upon the waters. He calmed the raging sea. He just spoke to the sea and it became calm.
That's right.
Somebody told me that he fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And somebody else told me that he healed a woman with an issue of blood, and all she had to do is but touch the hem of his garment. Certainly, he could have kept this man from dying. So easy for us to forget that we serve a boundless God. Because it's so easy for us to forget that right now, if he wanted this man to come back from the dead right now, he could call him because he's a boundless God. But because we are who we are, we think that we can limit God, because I don't see how even God can do anything now. How easy it is for us to forget. If you had been here, then my brother would not have died. Now you're too late. There's nothing that you can do about it now, because it's already happened now. So easy for us to forget and try to limit God Almighty. In verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead, she said unto the Lord, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he had been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Mm-hmm. If you could believe, then you could see the glory of God. I will just leave you with 3 highlights here. only one thing is needed. And the way you obtain that one thing, first thing, if we could just get over ourselves and our human limitations, if we just get over ourselves, I know we're important. Oswald Chambers says it like this. He said that we are all based on a conception of importance, either our own importance or the importance of someone else. See, Jesus tells us to go and teach based on the revelations of his importance. So in other words, you're going to either think that you are more important than God Almighty. You're going to either attribute your life and all that's worthwhile to Jesus and his importance, or it's going to be all about you. So if we could just get over ourselves and our human limitations. Number two, if we could just anticipate the intervention of a boundless God. So right in the midst of whatever you're going through, no matter what the circumstances might be, if you can just anticipate the intervention of a boundless God, because I can't restrict what God can do. If I can just believe. And finally, if we would just wait at his feet until his timing. Wait at his feet until he comes. Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to?
To the rock.
Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? Songwriter says, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. All I need is one thing. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do you go when the storms of life are threatening? When, who do I turn to when those winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? I go to the rock. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how good, no matter how bad, if you would just sit at his feet, there's only one thing needful in the midst of it all. Go to the rock. Because he's able. He can give you peace in the midst of the storm when everything else is going wrong. Then he can give you peace right in the midst. He promised us that. He would give you perfect peace if you would just keep your mind stayed on him. Mm-hmm. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed.
That's right.
When I need a friend, I go to the rock. Because I know that he's able. I go to the rock. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being there. Even when we think you're gone, Lord, when we think that we have been forsaken by you, Lord, thank you for being there. Thank thank you for reminding us that all we have to do is look up. And you've never left us. We may have turned away, but when we come back and look up, Lord, we will find that you are there. Teach us, Lord, to before we do anything, to always come and sit at your feet and be taught and directed by you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're currently doing. And we thank you, Lord, for what you will do. We praise your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray.